gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we are very lucky to be filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. Shelton, and my BFF,
Francis Sexy Pants Callier.
And might I say, those pants are especially sexy this morning.
Good morning,
good
everyone.
Good morning. We like to think of ourselves as your BFF.
Yes,
also.
We are.
It is 6 minutes past the hour.
Yes, the number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-783-7412.
That's right. It's Wednesday, March 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. You can also follow us on Twitter at Frangela One. That's
you
the
sure
number
can.
One.
The number one.
Yeah.
Not spelled out O-N-E.
That's right.
And there were some speeches last night. Maybe you heard.
Maybe you heard. Maybe you listened.
Maybe you were bowling and you missed it all. But we're going to be talking about that, obviously.
Yes, we're going to be talking about Bernanke and Geithner talking to the Senate.
Or being talked to.
Or being yelled at.
There was a lot
of people being taken to task last night.
I mean, it was task
yesterday.
Night.
Yes, it was.
It was. Mama and Daddy were like, no. They would go to answer a question and get cut off. And be like, you know what? No, just stop there. That's, you know what? You're wasting my time. Let me move on to my next attack/question.
Wow. I mean,
people are not having it.
People are not having it. But let's start with Obama, and we're going to play some clips and cuts. We have clips.
Tony made clips for us. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, Tony, for making the clips.
If you listen to our show at all at KTLK, you know that we don't have a lot of the equipment that Mama has. We don't have the little sound machine and things, so we're always happy when we get to...
Yeah, if you want to hear something that Obama said, then I have to put on my Obama voice.
We do a lot of role playing.
We do a lot of role playing.
And some may say with a smaller monitor, which we'll get to why that's an issue. The size of the teleprompter monitor, why that's being made a story today later.
Yeah, but let's hear Obama's opening statement last night in his address.
It's important to remember that this crisis didn't happen overnight, and it didn't result from any one action or decision. It took many years and many failures to lead us here, and it will take many months and many different solutions to lead us out. There are no quick fixes, and there are no silver bullets. That's why we've put in place a comprehensive strategy designed to attack this crisis on all fronts. It's a strategy to create jobs, to help responsible homeowners, to restart lending, and to grow our economy over the long term. And we're beginning to see signs of progress.
Yes, we are beginning to see signs of progress. I mean, you know, the reality is that people are refinancing their mortgages.
Yes.
We had a 30% uptick in that last month. And supposedly that makes banks happy.
Well, and I think, you know, I would like to see, again, we talked about this a lot yesterday and the day before a little, but I really want to talk about jobs because I think that, you know, the banking crisis and the reality behind our economic situation is that until we start dealing with jobs.
Yes, and what people get paid.
And what people get paid. There are some people who are going to be able to refi, but you know what? That only helps for so long.
That's right.
You know, and so I think that all of that is very important. But I was really, what I love, and you know, when I use the word love, I don't mean in some sort of schoolgirl crush, I've got a poster of Obama over my bedway.
Right.
What I really appreciate, I should say, mm-hmm. about this president as opposed to, I'm going to say, any other president before.
Mm-hmm.
Even I want to say Bill Clinton, who would strike a sort of realistic tone in a lot of his speeches, too.
Yes.
But he would also, you know, he'd also go to the I feel your pain side.
Right.
You know, and I mean, also, you know, be a little more speechify, if you
right.
will. What I like or enjoy or appreciated about this press conference last night is Obama being very realistic and never, ever, you know, we're not getting that flag waving.
No.
Everything's going to be fine. Just salute. We got to make sure there's a man and a woman in each house. And once
yes.
we've done that, everything else will be okay.
Yeah.
We're not getting that sort of politics of distraction or politics of excuses or politics of all we've got to do is smile and think we're number one.
Right.
Instead, he's saying, look, these are real serious problems. they didn't start yesterday, they're not going to end yesterday.
Yes. And, you know, and also talking about people making sacrifices.
Yeah.
You know, he is talking about making sacrifices and, you know.
Which I think for a politician to say that is fairly amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's not generally, I'm not a campaign strategist, but I'm actually related to some. And, you know, my sister works in campaign management, and that's, I think a lot of people would suggest that winning elections isn't done by telling people the truth.
Right.
You know,
right.
That would, you know, the rah-rah, sis-kumba kind of thing tends to work better. So I really do appreciate even starting with this, like, look, this is hard.
Yeah.
And you know what? Very smart people made these mistakes.
That's
so
right.
Don't think that just putting another group of smart people, that's the end of it.
That's right. That we're going to have to. And you know what? A couple of weeks ago, they were talking about how this economy has to be unwound. And it has to be unwound very slowly so that everything doesn't just blow up in our faces.
And I think it's important to talk about, you know, I noticed that the lack of memory, if you will,
right,
on some members of our media and government about how we got here. It's as if January 21st, Obama went out and spent $11 trillion.
That's right.
And
that's right.
At like the International Mall or the Mall of America.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're all like, we got to pay that.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to talk about how we got here. And eerily absent, and I'm going to say all of the media's attention to the economy are the letters GW.
Yes.
You know, eerily absent in the discussion of this economy, and of course in the speech Obama makes reference to,
mm-hmm,
inheriting,
yes,
this deficit. But the reality is there doesn't seem to be a lot of any discussion surrounding, well, wait a minute, what happened last October, November with TARP?
Right.
What happened in the 7 years before? Why weren't I'm not hearing any outrage about why weren't the wars in the budget?
Right. Hey, you know what? We can hear him talk about that. Let's go to that, you know, because he actually addressed that, and he's like, mm-hmm, it's number 14.
Yeah, you can say it.
Yeah.
They know we don't know how to do it.
Right.
You guys know that, Stephanie, my listeners, right?
Let's hear Obama talk about the true cost of the war.
In order for us to get a handle on these costs, it's also important that we are honest in what these costs are. And that's why it was so important for us to acknowledge the true costs of the Iraq War and the Afghan War. Because if those costs are somehow off the books and we're not thinking about them, then it's hard for us to make some of the tough choices that need to be made.
Yeah.
See, I think that is very statesmanlike to say if somehow,
yeah,
these are off the books somehow.
No, they left them off.
No, that wasn't a post-it that got lost on the floor. There was a very purposeful set of decisions made by not just one person, but probably a few, mm-hmm, besides Cheney, that to keep those costs off the books.
Right. Out of the American
so that we didn't have to deal with it.
Yeah, that's right.
And here we are having to deal with it. See, because that doesn't work for very long.
No, it doesn't. And you know what, Tony? Let's listen to number three, because I think this is very important. This is Obama talking about that we cannot return to bust and bubble economics.
Mm-hmm. The most critical part of our strategy is to ensure that we do not return to an economic cycle of bubble and bust in this country. We know that an economy built on reckless speculation, inflated home prices, and maxed out credit cards does not create lasting wealth. It creates the illusion of prosperity, and it's endangered us all.
Yeah, you know, I really do agree with that. And we have been on a cycle of patching up the holes and bailing water for a very long time in this country. And it has, you know, the chickens have come home to roost. We are dealing with it,
mm-hmm,
right now. We are suffering from it. And I was wondering to myself this morning as I was waking up and getting ready, is how long is it going to take this country to recover? And how long will we have learned our lesson? I mean, you know, will we go back to this, you know, in our generation, in the next generation? Will we, mm-hmm, teach our children how to save better and defer gratification at points?
I think, you know, when we talk about the amazing, it's interesting, you know, when you take a historical perspective on something like the economy that goes back further than 6 months.
Yeah.
What you'll find is that, you know, for most of my life, certainly since FDR was thought of as one of the greatest presidents in history, perhaps, mm-hmm, only second to Lincoln by many people, you know, and the New Deal was thought of as an incredible economic recovery package that really turned this country around, and prepared us for the future in terms of building an infrastructure,
yeah.
creating a national endowment for the arts, all mm-hmm. these all these programs that happened later, but all these programs that really people take for granted now,
yeah.
unionization, desegregation, all these things that sort of started then, and that especially under FDR and the New Deal, that really did change the priorities of this country, because before that we had the Industrial Revolution and we had the sort of the politics of these big families owning everything.
Yes, and you know what? And one of the most important things that I think never really gets talked about in that whole process is that we educated a lot of veterans. That a lot of people who normally would not have had access to a college degree or higher education, I should say, mm-hmm. higher education got that higher education.
That's right.
So that then they were able to procure higher paying jobs and to contribute and develop more here in this country. That's where we got middle management from. That's where we got people kind of rising up, and that's where we created a middle class. But now it has really fallen into the haves and have-nots.
There's been a major rejection of the working class, of education, public education,
yes.
Of things that that people in this country fought very hard to get,
mm-hmm.
And that have been incredibly important in really creating a superpower in a relatively short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about how long the United States has actually been around compared to the other, you know, big superpowers, it's pretty incredible. And I think that what Obama is suggesting, and it has been suggesting, is that we really do have to look at our priorities as a nation. My question about a lot of this economic recovery is, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. You know, I still feel that we're spending too much time discussing rich people.
Yeah.
I feel like we're spending too much time discussing how to help the banks without understanding why they're in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, the number here is 1-800-STUFF-1-2 if you want to weigh in. You know, I just want to definitely talk about, you know, where we are spending our mental energy as a country, and definitely talk about, you know, even talking about AIG, and we're spending a lot of time on that. But the reality is that, and somebody called in the other day saying that that's like 0.001% of the amount of money that we're actually spending. Mm-hmm. And yes, we are all outraged, but seriously, let's fix this economy.
Yeah.
And let's fix this economy.
Yeah, and I think one of the first things we have to be willing to do is ask ourselves, what do we want to do about a banking industry that's been allowed to engage in lending practices that I think by many people are at best seen as shoddy and irresponsible, and at worst as predatory and evil.
Yeah.
You know, and what are we going to do about people who've been, we just talked about yesterday, we got a lot of emails about talking about the usury laws and,
mm-hmm.
and payday loans and how that business has, you know, nobody's really talking about that, but that business has grown exponentially in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Also, you know, we also should be talking about, basically, so many things here, Angela, that are really, really, really driving me out of my mind.
You know, the one thing that's really driving me out of my mind, I can't believe that anybody let Bobby Jindal speak again.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I thought we were done with that.
Bobby Jindal had the nerve last night to defend those who want Obama to fail. He had the nerve to follow up behind Rush Limbaugh, who I am now going to say is the de facto leader of the GOP without fail.
That's right. And if you don't like that and you're a Republican, you need to get on the line and talk to your party leadership.
Yes.
Because now this is the second major, so-called major Republican who we've seen just completely kowtow to somebody who's an entertainer.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? And it's happening.
Why aren't we getting that?
I don't know, girl.
why isn't the DNC like, Frangela's right? I mean, I guess I'd be okay with it if we were getting the same treatment, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The number here is 1-800-STUFF-1-2. That's 1-800-783-7412. Mom and the Mooks are on vacation. We, Frangela, are here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, that just seems intentionally confusing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we've been filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V, as in vicious vixen Shelton.
And her very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callion.
And we like to think of ourselves as your BFFs.
Yes, we
are. Your besties. We got your backup and your blackup.
Yeah, that's right. Every night, every day, every morning.
All 24-7, as the kids used to say.
You know what? I don't know if I'm coming or going, girl.
That's what I like about you. I like the way you roll. It's forward, it's backward, it's all around. It's 25 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
It is Wednesday, March 25th, the morning after Bobby Jindal spoke.
Yes.
Which is what I remember.
Yes. And you know what?
First of all, can I just say, I was so shocked to see when I woke up this morning, you know, we saw Obama's speech, and then I was like, wait a minute, somebody listened to Bobby Jindal last night?
Yes.
Didn't we all get together and decide that wasn't going to happen again?
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think was nobody raised their hand and was like, but how do you feel about volcano monitoring?
Yeah, right.
Because to me, when there's a volcano that's just erupted for the sixth time in a U.S. state, can we start with that?
Thank you. But you know what? But the Republicans got together and they held a fundraiser to raise $6 million while Obama was giving his speech. And to
Obama can do that asleep.
To me, I'm going to tell you something.
$6 million.
Let me tell you something. That behavior is indicative of what's the problem is in this country. Because while the president is on television speaking to America.
Yeah, they're not listening.
Exactly, Angela. Speaking to America about how we're going to get better. Are the rest of, on the other quote unquote side,
right,
are out raising money and trying to figure out how to get back into power and get elected.
Yep.
And instead of saying, I'm listening to the president, I want to work with the president, I want to work and make America better for everyone. No, what are we doing? We're out having a rubber chicken dinner.
And it kills me that, you know, the lack of memory, the memento-like nature of politics today, if you will, if you didn't see that movie, it's about a man who he has that temporary memory loss thing, so he starts tattooing his body with key pieces of information that he needs to figure out what he's in this crime, drama, whatever. It's very interesting. But in any case, you know, when Bobby Jindal says, he's talking about Rush Limbaugh and other people in particular saying they want the president to fail. He called it the latest gotcha game being perpetrated by Democrats against Republicans. And so at this political fundraiser, he says, you know, here they are saying, you know, that making your opinion known or saying that you want the president to fail is treated as some sort of act of treason, civil disobedience, or political obstructionism. Correct me if I'm wrong, but even since January 20th, we've been told that Democrats want the United States to fail in Iraq and Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. I've had to hear that from a number of key Republicans.
Yes.
I've had to hear Dick Cheney even the Democrats want, or liberals or whoever they're identifying, want the U.S. to lose, quote unquote, lose that war. Now, you explain to me how saying you want the president to fail, or how is that different?
Yeah.
Like, the memory span and the amount of hypocrisy, and you know I hate name calling and I hate the labels and I think they're useless.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at that and I'm like, you are so clearly more concerned with getting elected than solving any of these problems.
Absolutely.
All you care about.
That is
Bobby Jindal.
And you know, and I'm gonna charge that the entire Republican Party. But I do not believe that is, you know, their constituents or the people who are a part of that party.
Yeah, look at Governor Schwarzenegger. He's taking the money. He's trying to help.
We're going to come back to your calls. The boards are full. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. This is Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks, and you are listening to the Stephanie Miller Show.
I want more
Stephanie Miller.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we're filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means me, Angela V. Shelton,
and our very best friend, Frances Callier.
That's right, and Frangela's just our name smooshed together
That's
into
right.
one. So you only have to learn one. That's just Frangela.
Like it sounds.
That's right. You can email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela, and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. You can also follow us at Twitter at Frangela1.
That's right. It's 33 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. That's 1-800. 1-800-783-7412. There are a lot of calls on the line. We want to get to you right now. Well, we were just talking about Bobby Jindal defending people saying that they want Obama to fail. And I cannot believe it. During a dinner that was given, a fundraiser, the Republicans were giving during the president's speech, which is indicative of how I feel like what is going on in this country, that they are refusing to work on the behalf of American people, and it's driving me out of my mind. Let's talk to Daniel in Jacksonville. Daniel, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Good morning, Frangela.
Good morning.
We're listening to you on 105.7. We have three FM stations, and guess what?
What?
We got on each one of them.
Really?
We call it North Florida Progressive Radio.
Nice. That's great.
And you guys fire us up.
Oh, I'm
thank
glad.
You, Daniel.
You know what is strange to me as an individual? What you just said, it is as if the Republican Party refuses to learn. They really believe no one knows what they're doing.
Thank you, Daniel.
It do not insult my intelligence. And it's not just, and I mean, it's like Germany had a ministry of misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
They called it the Ministry of Propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And when I listen to the radio programs that they say are fair, balanced, and impartial,
yeah.
Come on. These guys are going out of their way. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
This guy, he actually lost his business partner because he said the man won fair and square, and his other guy says, I'm not going to back up off of it.
And who are you talking about?
Oh, the man who says his name is Sean Hannity.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, that was us.
Yeah, and he actually, his business partner resigned.
Yeah.
And he preempted his business partner by making a statement before the man was able to make the statement himself.
Well, you know what? That's what's going on in the country right here. All the way around. Thank you, Daniel.
You know, and I know that there are Republicans and members of the Republican Party who don't feel this way, who aren't supporting this agenda. And I know that there are Democrats. When I have to wake up and read articles with Democrats ready to hack at Obama's budget, I'm uncomfortable with the labeling and saber rattling. And because I do feel that all these people need to be critiqued.
Yes.
You know, absolutely. But when I have to read, when a president gives a major press conference and the number one analysis of it that I can find on several news blogs is about a teleprompter.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out if they forgot what the last 8 years of speechifying was like.
Thank you very much. Let's talk to Mark in Minneapolis. Mark, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi, I just want to talk to you about what a couple of Nobel Prize-winning progressive journalists came out with in opposition to the Geithner plan, and I think we have to keep an open mind to this. And it was Paul Krugman and Joe Stiglitz and John Galbraith, and we need to look at alternative opinions.
Yes.
And one of the things that I'm concerned with is that nobody has seemingly be held accountable for this, including the people at the SEC that couldn't catch a cold, obviously.
You know what? We've been talking about that forever, Mark.
You're right, Mark.
They were looking at porn.
Well,
they should be regulating.
Now, these are things in the congressional record.
Mm-hmm.
During the Madoff-Markopoulos investigation, it was described by a congressman from Massachusetts that CEOs had access to a hotline into the SEC to get them to stop investigations or slow it down.
Wow.
Those are his words. I can send you that. The other
thing is that
the investigation into Stanford Financial in 2006 was called off by an unnamed, unrelated agency, and the SEC is refusing to tell who did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was just another report from the Inspector General of the SEC that said in excess of 5,000 complaints were received from short selling, and there were zero enforcement actions.
Exactly. You're absolutely right, Mark. You know, we mentioned it before in our first segment. I'm really concerned about, and I'm not hearing it from the media, I'm not hearing it from the Democrats or the Republicans. When are we going to start looking at, in a real substantive way, what happened at the SEC? When am I going to hear about massive layoffs there?
Okay.
When am I going to hear about the fact that there's that one guy in Massachusetts who kept, I mean, really had a one-person crusade to show that Madoff had to be lying.
That's right.
and nobody would listen to this man.
Exactly. He's like, no. The math doesn't work.
It doesn't work. I've been following his plan, and I'm not getting these returns.
I know.
And over and over again. And the the sort of the inbredness, if you will, of the lobbying structure or these AAA, you know, the rating agencies.
Yes.
How is it that all these bad unsecured, what they call bad loans, you know, it's subprime. The whole point of it is that you're not, you're below the lending qualifications, that these were being counted as assets. You know, that the rating agencies were giving these AAA ratings.
Yes.
And consequently, or coincidentally, their profits were also going up. I do need to hear some discussion of that.
Yes. Let's talk to Paul in Minneapolis. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
I appreciate the comment about the need to take a look at the purchase of the toxic loans by the government. I don't
yes.
know that that was the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And I do want to, at the same time, give credit to the Obama administration and the Democrats in Congress who passed a middle and lower income tax cut.
Yes,
that,
yes.
I think is a key to resurrecting this economy because money in the hands of people who have lower income gets spent a lot faster than that in the hands of the wealthy folks. And I believe it was a good move, and it seems to be making a difference on Wall Street right now.
Yes,
I, absolutely.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, you
absolutely.
Know what, you know what? My money gets turned over a lot,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, because it has to.
you know,
I don't get to keep it for very long. I don't get to develop an affinity for it.
No. My money don't get to make babies.
No,
and make baby money.
It doesn't get to hang out.
No.
And I don't get to know its serial numbers. We don't get to know each other.
Exactly.
You know.
My money's not stacking. I can't make it rain.
I'm going to be clear. We're not monogamous.
No.
Me and my money, I'm not in a monogamous relationship.
No.
It's very temporary, fly-by-night, beer goggly.
Okay.
You know, and that's the reality. And absolutely, and I keep asking this question, why, and I do think, I, you know, the last two callers, I agree. I think that this plan, this was a, you know, what's his name? Everybody's names now. Mm. Yeah, it's Geithner's I'm thinking of. You know, these are people who worked in the Bush administration, some of them. Not that that makes you evil or bad, but these plans aren't, there's a lot of talk out there, particularly, you know, Paul Krugman did do an op-ed, I think, Monday or Sunday,
mm-hmm.
talking about this toxic acid plan. It's really just sort of a rehashing
yes.
Of the other Bush plan, and that hasn't worked.
Yeah, the cash for trash
and,
plan.
You know, we had an email from somebody last night who said, you know, we were talking about the whole concept of the oxymoron of saying something as a toxic acid, because those two words mean different things, and they shouldn't work together. And so this woman wrote in and said, well, if you're having trouble understanding the term, and she explained it, and I'm like, it's not that we have a problem understanding the term.
Right.
The problem we have is that calling an asset that's a bad asset that everybody has always acknowledged is a bad asset
mm-hmm.
and knew it from the beginning, and then saying that by creating a false demand for it, by having the government take away the risk mm-hmm. of buying this bad asset, that will create a demand for it
right.
and thereby make it profitable, that's speculative at best. And
at
worst, it sounds like a bad plan.
Well, you know
why
what?
Can't they just give us the money?
Right.
I'm not talking in terms of a tax cut. I mean, send every American
some money. Right.
Oh, yes.
You know what? And
a cashier's check. Or cash. Some of us don't have bank accounts.
Right. You know, I'd take a bank card.
That would be nice.
No, I would. I really
would. I'm cool with it.
I'm cool with it.
And I'm asking that question, Stephanie Miller, listeners. What, you know, I really do think we do need to be critical and ask these questions about this plan. Yes, things need to happen, but is this the right thing?
Oh, we'll be right back. We've got more clips from Obama. We have your phone calls to take. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. This is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are taking a much-deserved vacation this week, so we are filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Callier.
That's right. We just smushed our names together and made one, so you only had to learn one.
That's right.
And that's Frangela, F-R-A-N-G-E-L-A. You can email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. You can also follow us on Twitter.
We tweet.
We tweet. at Frangela1.
That's right. We do answer all of our emails, and we're fairly caught up, actually, so now's a good time to get in. I think I only have a few left for Monday.
Yeah.
You know, from just yesterday, I think.
Yeah.
We're caught up to yesterday. Yeah. So, but obviously on any of those sites, and we'd also love to hear from you here at 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
That's right.
It's 47 minutes past the hour.
Yes, and let's get to some of your phone calls. Let's talk to Richard in Madison. Richard, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Richard.
Hi.
I just had a couple of questions for you.
Awesome.
Did you know that many years ago when the Wholesome bread truck would pull into my parents' yard, we could get 10 loaves of bread for a dollar. And now I'm lucky if I can get 10 loaves of bread for about $34 over here where I live.
Wow.
And the other question I had for you, too, was all these people that are being put out of work.
Yes.
That are being put out on the streets even. Are sometimes put out of work because of computers or robots. Now, how many of these robots and these computers are going to buy big ticket items?
Yeah, that's true. Because of automation in the workplace, Richard,
well,
right?
And I'm going to say, you know what I have to agree with? I'm going to point out on Richard, this is one thing that bothers. It's a simple little everyday example of it. But grocery stores now, thank you, Richard, for calling.
Thank you,
grocery stores now, that self-serve aisle, it is really tempting. And I will admit that I have used it. But then I had to remember that we had a grocery store chain strike not that long ago.
Right here,
And in Los Angeles, where we are, you know, they've worked very hard to try to keep Walmart out of this community because of what it does to communities and how it drives out other businesses as the evil Death Star empire that I think it is. But when I look at a program like that, self-service, what I see is that is a way to get rid of employees.
That's right.
Now,
that's why I don't use that line.
And as a favor to them, I shouldn't use that line.
Yeah.
Because not that I do believe in automation. What's sad to me is that there are a number of places. We all have had this frustration. It's extremely frustrating to try to get any business accomplished in this country these days. You call any service and you have to go through button pointing things to finally get to somebody who usually isn't in this country.
That's right.
Frankly, which I don't necessarily have a problem with in theory.
Right.
The reality is that job is not here in America.
Well, you know what?
And they don't know what they can't help you.
You know what? I was just saying to Angela yesterday and Tony here yesterday that my mother, after she retired, she got bored after a while. This is years and years ago.
She's one of those people that has to work.
And she ended up working for a phone company. I won't tell you what it was, which one it was. But
Sprint.
You know what?
I'm sorry. I just don't. I think this is an intimate relationship, and I trust all of you.
I can't believe you said that. Anyway.
Anywho.
Anyway, so she initially was down in Florida. She had retired down in Florida, and she was servicing at first just Florida. Then they cut down the phone centers in other states. So then she was servicing 7 states. Then she went to
7 states.
7 states.
That seems like a lot for one person.
Then she was servicing 15 states, and all the laws were different in 15 different states. And then it went on and on. And then they finally closed down the call center and sent it overseas.
That's,
because that's what happens in this country.
And I absolutely agree. You know, the cost of everything. You know, we had somebody who I think was on the live blog. I want to say hi to the live bloggers.
Yes.
Good morning. Was talking yesterday about how one of the things that people are forgetting about why people are in the economic mess a lot of us are in is because when those gas prices were really high.
Yes.
That increased the price of everything, food, because, you know, still the major way that we transport food in this country is trucking. They use a lot of gas, diesel fuel and all that. So when those prices went up, we all had to pay in so many different areas of our lives that we hadn't anticipated having to pay more, that much more in, that we're not recovered from that.
No. Let's talk to Victor in Buffalo. Victor, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hey, how you doing? How's everything?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a quick question. I wonder what the Republicans are going to do. Like, for example, their measure of performance for Barack is the stock market, the housing market. Do the sales increase? Do they decrease? And every time he does good in those areas, all of a sudden they want to discount it. But originally, that was the measure of performance.
That's right. Thank you, Victor.
And it's just so funny. Like, okay, for example, real quick, a Republican pundit was like, Well, I'm not buying the argument that the sales market is going up. Well, what argument are you going to buy about the housing market then?
Right. Yes.
It's just interesting the way they go with this. So, I mean, if I were them, I would just lay out, get it out in the open now. What are your metrics? What are you going to
base
performance on? And let's get it there, because they're going to just keep dancing around and, you know.
Changing the finish line.
That's right.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think you're right, Victor. I think
Thank you, Victor.
You know, Daniel, our first caller, I think, of today's concern. Like, do people think we're stupid?
Yeah.
Do they think we don't understand
right. That
last week you said a stock market, that it goes up 500, almost 500 points, and you're like, well, that's not really an indicator.
No. And I like what Victor said. What are your metrics, okay? Just, you know what, put them out there so we know what you're talking about. Tracy wants to talk about people acting like we're stupid. Let's talk to Tracy in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Yes, your friend, the neighborhood cab driver.
All right.
Hey, Tracy. Good morning.
I'm so honored. I'm talking to you 2 days in a row. I'm like, ooh.
I have to tell you that all
my customers love you, and they're now listening to your show.
Oh,
whether they want to or not, right, Tracy?
They're listening to your show in my cab.
Don't unlock those doors, Tracy.
That's right. Keep them in there.
There's no democracy here.
Right.
It's a frangocracy.
Exactly. The stupidity that they think we are. Mm-hmm. These banks are, I'm frantic.
Yeah.
And I'm frangry.
That's right.
I actually had an opportunity. You know, I've been broke all my life, and I'm still basically broke. But I got this opportunity to go to London.
So, ooh.
Yes, I'm going to London next
week.
Wonderful.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Nice.
Oh, that's
I'm so
great.
Excited. But I get my bank statement yesterday.
Mm.
And I'm looking. I see the charge for my, that I paid for my ticket. And then I see a 3% charge for foreign transaction fee.
Ooh.
And 3%.
That's crazy.
$30. Now, you know how tight our bank accounts are, girl. You can't just throw a $30 charge
no.
on sister and not tell me.
No. Because I'm counting change.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I call, and this is the first time in my life that I actually have a cushion. So I call my bank that, you know, show your name, nameless, Chase.
You are a woman after my own heart, Tracy.
You know, I'm calming down. But I called them, and I'm like, you know what? I didn't expect this charge. Is there something? We can't refund it. And I'm like, why not? Well, it's non-refundable because
that's our, we don't want to.
We don't want to. And it's because we just closed it when you opened your account. I'm like, sweetie, I've had this account for 15 years.
Yeah.
And 15 years ago, sister girl wasn't even thinking about going to London, let alone being able to buy a ticket.
Right.
Thank
and
you,
so,
Tracy.
You know, so I said, you know, if there's anything, she's like, no, I said, okay, you know what? I got my musket. We're going to do a revolt.
they're pushing
this
it.
Morning
yeah.
And closing my account.
Good for
wow.
you.
And going to a credit union.
You know
yay,
what?
Hey, Tracy. Yep. Good job.
I know. I this is what I don't understand. You know, that whenever you buy an online purchase now, you know, what I'm really thinking of is ATMs. You know how they always tell you what the fee is before you go through with the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they don't have to, the banks don't have to do that. Why it's only after I make a transaction that
yes.
I, but yeah, it's written in that little tiny like 0.1 font on that, your original paperwork for opening your account that's
mm-hmm.
either thrown away or shoved in a drawer someplace.
Right.
But that's not disclosure as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Something, they have to put all over cigarettes if they cause cancer, but they don't have to put on any of the things that we deal with financially what they could do to us.
Right.
You know,
right.
They don't have a responsibility to protect me in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we have to look at usury laws. We have to look at the banking industry. We have to look at the fact that they're able, the crazy fees. You know this is a pet peeve of mine.
You know what, guys? I'm going to tell you something. Her eyes are rolling in the back of her head, standing up on this counter in here.
It pisses me off like nothing else. I can't deal with it. The fees, there's a $13 fee on my account for them having to deal with it. Wait a minute. That's
right.
Your job. If you didn't want to deal with it, don't take it.
Don't take it.
Like, and it makes no sense to me
that we
allow them to do this.
Yes. Let's talk to Dwayne in Maryland. Dwayne, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Good morning.
I really like your energy.
Oh, thank you.
Let me just go in and just speak up. No one is really talking about the fact that our commander-in-chief is undermining white supremacy. The reason why you have all these caucasoids hating
this
man.
Caucasoids?
Yeah, that's
Dwayne.
AKA white people.
Okay, I thought you were going to talk about Republicans.
I am.
Okay, okay.
Well, I am. Caucasoids, Republicans.
Oh, okay. You know what, Dwayne?
Okay,
we're going
to cut you have to cut you off there because that's an alarming word.
Yeah, come on. I tried, you know what? I gave you like 2-3 chances, Dwayne, to clean it up.
Let me just say that we also have a policy for Angela. We have a policy of you don't have to throw a rock and hide your hand. You can tell us exactly. You can tell the call screener exactly what you want to say.
Yeah.
And we, as long as it doesn't violate FCC laws, we'll let you on.
Right. We'll be right back. Our number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We're Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks. We got so much to talk to you about in the next hour. You're listening to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Including the Caucasoids.
Oh, my goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we are very happy to be filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callier.
That is right. And I am, what was my other one? Foxy Britches.
Yes.
Angela, Foxy Britches Shelton.
Yes.
Thank you for those taglines, Hugh. And was it Travis?
Yes.
Travis, thank you. It's 6 minutes past the hour.
Yes. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-783-7412.
It is Wednesday, March 25th,
mm-hmm.
And a lot happened yesterday. We got a lot of calls on the line. Thank you.
Yes.
And we're very excited to be talking about the Obama's press conference last night.
Yes.
Bobby Jindal's fundraiser.
Yes. $6 million for the Republican Party when they should have been at home taking notes.
Or maybe at the press conference.
Or at the press conference.
I bet they're allowed to come.
Or at least on the corner being like, you know what, can I talk to you? You know what? That, to me, seriously, when Americans are hurting and you're going to do a fundraiser to get back into power, and that's...
During the speech. An incredibly important press conference. What kills me is that last week, I had to hear from all sorts of sectors, people critiquing Obama for being on Leno.
Yes.
That was a waste of his valuable time.
Right.
Which also, by the way, wasn't a fundraiser.
No.
It was talking to American people.
Yes. But you know what?
Okay, maybe it's me.
Yeah. You know what, Angela, I have to say about that, too. And Angela and I have talked about that a bit. You know, I think a lot of people don't understand Obama coming out and talking to the American people. And what we live in today is not the same America that even Bill Clinton or even George Bush was in,
mm-hmm.
In terms of the media. This is a 24-minute news cycle. Things are turning over second by second by second.
You know what I think the media is mad about?
Hmm.
That they're not controlling public opinion.
That's right.
That, in fact, we are not following your lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking about, they have really got everyone all tied up at AIG, and of course people are mad about the bonuses.
Yes.
But it reminds me of, I remember there was a so-called riot in Detroit. There was some sort of the police issue, and
mm-hmm.
maybe the police had maybe beat up somebody and whatever. And so all these news stations were like, you know, tensions are high, it's riot situation. And then one of the cameras happened to pan, and there were like four people with a sign on this corner that was like, stop police abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And they were clearly all friends and came in the same car.
Yeah.
And like it was almost like they were trying to incite the situation.
Yes.
But I think we do have to look at the fact that we are losing 600,000 jobs a month.
That's right.
That is not, we have to look at the fact that how many jobs are attached to the financial sector.
Right.
Why we've allowed that industry to get so out of control and so unregulated.
Yeah, your 401k is half the value that it was a year and a half ago.
That's not okay.
That's not okay.
You know, prescription drugs and insurance, most of us aren't insured, many
right.
of us. And those of us who are, it's absolutely eating up every bit of money people have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that these are the issues that are really concerning people, and the war and education. But I think that the media keeps trying to, you know, I have to read 6 articles about a teleprompter.
Yes.
Like, that's, to me, that's not, and there's a, you know, there's a, one of the, a member of our government, I'm finding the article in a second, has put forward a bill to try to help save particularly small newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of me that wonders, do we need to do that?
Right.
Like, but these are, you know, not for the big conglomerates, but we'll talk about that also, too.
Yeah. Also, we want to talk about, I want to throw this out here, Ed Henry from CNN asked Obama last night during the Q&A portion. He goes, he said he wanted to know why President Obama waited days to express outrage on the AIG bonuses.
Do we have this audio?
Yeah.
I believe we have this audio.
And let's see what...
Why did you wait days to come out and express that outrage? It seems like the action is coming out of New York and the Attorney General's office. It took you days to come public with Secretary Geithner and say, look, we're outraged. Why did it take so long?
It took us a couple of days because I like to know what I'm talking about before I speak.
Dang! Could you hear the click of dang? See, this is why we're not in the White House press corps. Because we would have been like, dang!
Woo, don't even.
Ed,
you got slapped down.
Okay, he likes to think.
Yes.
Hello.
But you know what? But then...
See, we speak Afro-Saxon.
Yes,
we can go back and forth.
But then, afterwards, it's, you know, Ed is talking on CNN, and he's going, well, you know, this is a flash of anger, you know, the president basically trying to say...
He's out of control. I'm like, do you not remember our vice president cussing people out on the House floor?
Yes.
Seriously?
Seriously.
That's a flash of anger? If you think that's a flash of anger, you have no idea. You know what I saw in there? Yes. You know what I'm sick of? Is if I do something too quickly, I did it too quickly. If I take 2 days to think about it, why didn't I speak right away?
Yes.
And it's to the point, in my view, and tell me if you agree, Stephanie Miller listeners, at 1-800-STEPH-12, it's like literally every day the goal is to find a critique, not to even report what was said.
No.
Not to talk about the issues even in the context of it, whether or not they're good issues. Here we've had two people already who are like, I'd like to talk about whether or not this is a good plan.
Right.
But instead, no, we're going to talk about that.
Let's talk to Dean in Buffalo. Dean, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Oh, yeah. I just want to start off by saying that I love you two on the best week ever.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it does seem like the GOP, which stands for... the national flag for the GOP should be an old man standing on his lawn telling young people to get off of it.
Thank you, Dean.
I think like I always think of myself as that ornery old lady on the front porch on my rocker going, yeah, if it's in my yard, I get it. Don't have a ball in my yard again. It does feel that way.
Yeah.
And I would say not just from the RNC, but I feel that we've had, this is coming from many sectors.
Yes. Let's talk to Ray in Texas. Ray, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I love when you guys step in for the Steph and the Moose. It's a really, really good week. I usually hate when people go away and have substitutes, but you guys really step in and make it really, really fun.
Thank you so much, Ray.
We appreciate that.
Really quick point. The guy who called in with the word caucasoid, it's actually not really offensive.
I know. We were just saying that to explain that to Tony.
You know what it is, though?
It's Australoid, caucasoid, negroid.
Right.
My point, the reason why I'm calling is that there are a lot of things right now that are really frustrating, but my pet peeve of the day with the Republicans is they always criticize but don't offer any new ideas.
Yes.
Put up or shut up. I'm sick. I mean, I love a healthy debate. I'm all about ideas. We all roll in this together, right?
Right.
But if they're saying, well, we can't do this, we can't do that. Okay. Well,
then what can we do?
Right.
But I'll tell you what the answer to that is. It's what it always has been: tax cuts.
Yeah.
And particularly for the wealthiest 5%.
That's right.
And the reason, I'm going to tell you, the reason we cut off caucasoid is because that's what we call an indicator or a red flag.
Yes.
That wasn't going in that direction.
Right.
But because we do want to protect Mama's show and protect us all from being a sounding board for crazy.
Yes.
Potential crazy or potentially just sort of offensive and off the mark.
Right.
When some red flags pop up, we're gonna slow your roll.
We're gonna slow your roll. Just a bit.
Just a bit.
You know, just like the anti-Semite who likes to call.
Yeah, there's a guy who calls in and it starts very innocuously with a comment about the economy and Madoff, and then before you know it, it's off to the anti-Semitic races.
Yes.
And so you gotta catch these, you gotta catch nip it in the bud.
Dwayne,
if that isn't where you were going, I apologize, but I have a feeling it was.
Oh, write us an email over at Frangela.com.
And we'll read it.
Yeah, we'll read it. Give us a call here at 1-800-STEPH-12. Let's talk to Carol in Alton. Carol in Illinois. Carol, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi, yes, good morning. I have a question for you for anybody. AIG, AIU is supposed to be giving back some of their bonuses now. 9 out of 10 people gave back the bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
Who do they give it back to? Did they just give it back to AIG or AIU to figure out how to spend it some other way?
Interesting.
Because obviously it doesn't sound like they needed it to help bail themselves out if they're giving bonuses.
Right.
So is it going back to the government? Is it coming back to the people? Where's that money going?
Ask that question.
You know what? Thank you, Carol.
Yeah,
because where is the money going? We still haven't gotten an answer on when the first TARP money went. That happened under Bush.
Well, I've heard that some of the executives have decided to donate the money, you know, to people in situations that were hurt because of the economic downturn. Really, part of the tailspin that AIG helped throw us in. We have an open letter from one of the executives who quit.
Right.
That he wrote to Ed Liddy the other, I think it's in the New York Times
today.
Yeah,
it's in the New York Times in the op-ed section.
But we're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But let's continue with some of your calls. Let's talk to Ann in Pompano Beach, Florida. Ann, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi, guys. I just want to tell you I love you guys.
Oh, thank you so much.
You keep me entertained when I'm working all day.
Oh, good.
My comment is I work for UPS in middle management,
and my only comment was
when they came around and they told us that we have to take a cut in our 401k, they weren't going to match it, and they were going to cut our bonuses, cut out Christmas turkeys for even like the people making $8 or $9 an hour.
Right.
Everyone, people making $8 and $9 an hour that wouldn't even get a simple turkey.
Yeah.
But everyone's response was, not only am I happy to have a job, but the best thing was they were glad because it meant that someone else that worked with us was not going to lose their job.
Right.
And
exactly.
To me, that's what Obama is trying to promote.
You know,
we all work together. And these are people making $8 and $9 an hour.
That's right.
And these Republicans making millions of dollars, they don't want to take a little cut that won't even hurt their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah,
Thank you, Ann.
We've seen so many people be willing to sacrifice so much, particularly, you know, when you look at the unions and how they've been attacked and hit across the nation and have taken pay freezes and pay cuts for the last, you know, 10 or more years under the guise of helping the economy and the company stay viable.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah. Yet last night, Obama talked about people sacrificing. And let's listen to a little bit what he had to say about that.
With respect to the American people, I think folks are sacrificing left and right. I mean, you've got a lot of parents who are cutting back on everything to make sure that their kids can still go to college.
Mm-hmm.
You've got workers who are deciding to cut an entire day and entire day's worth of pay so that their fellow co-workers aren't laid off. I think that across the board, people are making adjustments large and small to accommodate the fact that we're in very difficult times right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's absolutely right, you know, and they're not.
Yeah. And you know what? And this is what I like about this president is this willingness to acknowledge what the average person is going through and what we're experiencing. And you know what? I don't feel like every term we're talking about protecting someone's great amount of wealth, which, you know what? I ain't mad at you if you're rich. I'm really not. You know what?
Maybe not. I got to know who you are.
Yeah.
I need more information than that.
You need more information than that. Hey, let's talk to Elle in Los Angeles. Elle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi, we love you.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, I have to say, I think that the people on Main Street, we do feel it. Obama was right on the mark yesterday. Here's my experience. I work for a large bank that received quite a chunk from the banking package that was distributed.
Okay.
Before I went to work for this company, I had taken a credit card out with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I've had it for a year or two. I since then went to work for them. Never been late on a payment. Never went over my credit limit. The payments are made electronically every month to the credit card from a different checking account. Well, the due date was on a Sunday. The transfer went through at 6:32 in the morning on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't record it until Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Even though it was electronically transferred.
Yes.
So they raised my interest rate from 11 to 29.9%.
What? No.
Oh, yeah. Gave me a $60-some late fee charge. Then when I called them to talk to them about it and explain to them I had proof from the bank of what time it was transferred,
mm-hmm.
well, we're not going to do anything for you. And I said, well, if you can't make that decision, can I talk to your supervisor? They transferred to the supervisor, and he goes, is this such and such? I said, yes. And he goes, well, you can't talk to our associates this way. We're going to call your supervisor.
Oh, no way.
It gets worse.
No.
It gets worse. So I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I haven't done anything wrong here. I'm passionate. This isn't fair. And I said, I'll have to take other action because I can't pay 29.9%. And he said, well, we can take legal action. And I said, legal action? What?
Like,
why? I'm going to close my account. I'll pay it off and close it. So this was the kick. Fine, you do that. They didn't care. The kicker is, I went to work next day. Guess what's in my email?
What?
We're here to support you. If you're having trouble with your credit cards or you need us to lower your interest, give us a call.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. And this is a bank that got a huge amount of money.
Yeah,
and
thank
where
you.
Is it trickling down to Main Street America is what I want to know.
Right. Thank you, Elle. Thank you. You know what? I'm so angry for you, I could fry it.
My mouth was ajar.
You know what? You know what? You email us and we'll meet you someplace
take
care of this problem together.
We are your black-up,
because
Elle.
That is not okay. I am so mad about the fees, and I hate this that you've hit on. This is actually a class action lawsuit that I'd like to bring as soon as I have some money. So we're going to talk about this when we come back more.
The number here is 1-800-7-1-2.
You will be avenged, Elle.
We are frangry for you, Elle. We'll be right back. We're Frangeless, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mom and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we're filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela V. Vixen Shelton.
All right, and her very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callion.
That's right, and we just smush our names together to make one, and that's Frangela.
That's right.
It is 25 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2 or 1-800-783-7412.
And it is Wednesday, March 25th, and I want to say hi again to the live bloggers.
Hi, live bloggers.
And we're going to be reading your from some of your blogs here
yes.
in a moment.
That's right. But you know what? We also have some phone calls. And, you know, number one, I want to say this, too. President Obama's speech last night is about pushing his budget to the American people. He's actually got people out there on the ground trying to go door to door to explain the budget to other people. When the people who are in Congress don't understand the budget, all right?
They don't care.
And you know what? And I'm not saying that we all have to rubber stamp everything. I trust and believe President Obama like you would not believe. But
you need to read it.
But we all do need to read it.
We need the Cliff Notes some.
We do. Let's talk to Richard in Tucson because he wants to talk about it too as well. Richard, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hey, ladies, love your show.
Thank you.
Say, and I like Barack a lot. Of course, I support him. I'm an independent voter.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, this $3.6 trillion budget leaves a very sinking feeling in my stomach.
Okay.
I can understand that.
The debt, you guys.
Yeah.
So buried in debt. And now all of a sudden, we're going to bury ourselves even deeper and deeper and deeper. And I don't think these budgets will ever come down.
No, let me tell you something. We are throwing money into a hole, and
right.
You know, and talking about, you know, worrying about our kids' future. I'm going to tell you something. I'm worried about the future of this country.
Well, sure.
You know,
and ladies, you know, it's just like I'm not. I just think at this point we have to be realistic. I think that Barack is brilliant, but I actually do believe he's misread the situation. I just don't think it's the right year to peddle out $650 billion for health care without a distinct plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much confusion. They don't know what they're doing yet with it. And I think it's pretty obvious at this point that Tim Geithner ain't going to cut it.
Well, Richard, you know what?
I agree. You know what? I got to tell you that I'm concerned about this plan. I do know that the budget, I'm glad to see it reflecting people.
Yeah.
It's some social programming.
The thing is, once that money goes into the vast bureaucracies of this nation, It's just going to feed the government more and more. Why do we need $15 billion more for a State Department? Why do we need $5 billion more for the Homeland Security Department?
Yeah.
You know, the fact is immigration is declining. If you look at my city of Tucson, Arizona, 9 out of our top 10 employers are all government.
Thank
you,
Richard.
So, you know what, we have to go to a break, but we will be back to talk about that, your comments, and more.
More. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2. We are Frangela, and you are listening to The Stephanie Miller Show.
Never rest until I bring
Stephanie Miller
to justice.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mom and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we are filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And her very BFF, Francis Sexy Pants Callion.
And we like to, oh, now I'm calling, what am I calling myself now?
A hot britches.
Hot britches.
Hot britches.
Angela V. Hot britches. Shelton. It is 33 minutes past the hour.
Yes, and the number here is 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
That's right. It's Wednesday, March 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about Obama's speech last night, the budget, Geithner.
And Bobby Jindal.
Bobby Jindal said some stuff.
Yes. You know what? In fact, let's talk to Renee in North Carolina. She wants to talk about Bobby Jindal. Renee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Yes, I'm originally from Louisiana, and so I know about Bobby Jindal, even though I don't live there anymore. The thing is, he ran on a platform of fighting corruption, and I knew about some corruption in Louisiana, and I had the evidence. So, you know, a couple of months after giving him time to get settled, I called in and I faxed the information to them, and all I got was stonewall and running around. They wouldn't even send the information to the Attorney General.
Wow.
And then they start talking about, oh, but we've got this commission. The thing is, you know, it's no secret Louisiana is corrupt. But whatever you think, it's a thousand times worse, and it's systemic and institutionalized. They all cover for each other. And it's so frustrating. Like, I heard one of you earlier talking about that Markopoulos guy who stood up, who went to the SEC about that guy is my hero.
Yes.
He is my absolute hero. And if you haven't seen it yet, because people don't really understand how frustrating it is to try to report corruption to the government until you've been through it. Right now at ABC.com, there's an excellent report by Brian Ross, who does some really good work called Caught on Tape, Government Ineptitude, where they investigated how the Department of Labor, when people would try to report that their employers are cheating them out of their wages, how they won't do anything for them. That article kind of gives a little picture of what it's like, but it's not just the Department of Labor. It's practically any agency or department you try to get help from.
Yes.
Thank you, Renee. Thank you. In fact,
we were
looking at an article in the New York Times about the labor agency is failing workers, report says. The federal agency charged with enforcing minimum wage, overtime, and many other labor laws is failing in that role, leaving millions of workers vulnerable. And that's something that the congressional auditors have found in their report that should be released today.
Yeah. You know, it's like, those of us who need the most help get the least amount, especially from people who are supposed to be working on our behalf. And you know what? And I agree with Tavis Smiley said something about a critique of what's going on. No one talks about the poor.
Yeah.
No one talks about the poor, the people making minimum wage.
The people not working.
Or the people not working.
You know? And it's like, it's as if there's this collective amnesia or blindness to the reality of most people. When you hear that only 5% of the country makes over $250,000, then why are we always talking, why are we only talking about that group of people?
Right.
that seems just at least unbalanced.
Yeah. Let's talk to Roz in Atlanta. This is our girlfriend. Hey, girl, how you doing?
Honey, you had better fasten your seatbelt today. I got three quick things I'm going to hit you with. Number one, we took it to the streets the day we took it to the polls and
voted
for Barack Obama.
That's right.
I don't care when Chris Dodd knew about the AIG bonuses. I don't care when Barack Obama knew about them. The bottom line was, Congress rolled up their sleeves and they got back in there and they tried to do something about it when they realized just how pissed off you and I were about it.
Exactly.
Now, another thing, I've got a senator in my state that's up for re-election. He just sent me a cute little email wanting my support to send him some campaign contributions. You know what I emailed him back, Francis?
What?
I told him I'm going to send my money to you to buy your next blood pressure medication.
Oh, you're so
sweet. You know
what? The power is absolutely with the people, and we need to know we do have the power, because let me tell you something. Main Street has backed down Wall Street like they never did before. 2 years ago, we could have never gotten Republicans to have come back in and taken back money from anybody.
That's right. You're absolutely right. You know what, Ross? That is a really great point.
It's an excellent point.
And I tell you what, these people running for office, you don't need to be calling them trying to get them to come on and talk to you. They need to be calling you.
Oh, thank you, Ross. You're so sweet.
Thank you
for calling. She's our other mother. Yeah, she's our other mother. Thank you, Ross. Yeah, you know, the reality is that is a great point. It does shock me when I do turn on C-SPAN and I see Republicans fighting for these bonuses.
Populist issues. Well, at the end of the day, you know, and I think there are people in both parties who I have problems with, and I wish we, again, had other parties that we had choices about. But I think Roz is absolutely right that the reality is that the reason that this whole AIG thing is even happening is because we're mad.
Yes.
Which means that we really do have a way to interact with our government and to talk about how we feel about this, the budget, and how we feel about the release of more funds to these banks, and how we feel about Geithner and this. You know, now there's this idea that they're floating about the Treasury Secretary having greater powers.
Yes. And we want to know what you think about that, because Angela and I asked Angela yesterday. We were writing,
I had a mini meltdown.
She did. We were writing yesterday, and I said, hey, what do you think about, you know, Geithner trying to get more powers, you know, it's kind of like the FDIC,
right,
you know, over companies. And Angela goes,
no,
not more,
less. I would like to see more regulation. I would like to see, a more oversight, but I don't know that putting the power in the hands of one person like that is such a great plan.
Right. And before I'm going to get to some more calls in a second, but before we go there, I don't want to another moment to go by without talking about this letter that was sent, an open letter basically, by Jake DeSantis, an executive vice president of the American International Group's Financial Products Unit, to Mr. Edward M. Liddy,
the head of AIG.
He says, Dear Mr. Liddy, it is with deep regret that I submit my notice of resignation from AIG Financial Products. I hope you take the time to read this entire letter. I did.
I don't know if Liddy did.
But he said, I am proud of everything I've done for the commodity and equity divisions. He goes on to say that
his division, the financial products division, was no way involved in or responsible for the credit default swap transactions that have really been responsible for AIG being the position they're in.
Right. He was asked to work for an annual salary of $1, and he said he did so with an agreed sense of duty to the company and to the public officials that had come to its aid, but he was resigning because he felt that he was being blamed after all the people who had gone on, who had put the company and driven the company into a hole. They went off and they quit, and now the people who were left there are left to take the blame.
And he goes on to be sort of emotionally, you know, hurt, I would say, and upset that, you know, Liddy, in talking about AIG and in being in front of Congress, doesn't ever say, you know, that not every employee at AIG was responsible for this, that in fact, this man says in his department, as I said, the financial products unit had nothing to do with the, quote, large losses. And I am disappointed and frustrated over your lack of support for us. We've heard this. We've had people call in with this point of view before.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that not every part of this company was losing money or negligent. And there were sections of this company that were actually making money.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, honoring the bonuses to those people is both, you know, honoring a contract and ethical. And I have to say, that's just not how my life works.
No.
In my life, when my company does badly, I get a pay cut or hours cut, even if my department is doing well. Because
that's
the
right.
whole company gets hit for that.
That's right.
It's not compartmentalized. And if you're going to take public funds, then you're going to have to be publicly accountable.
That's right.
And the reality is, I understand that this person's frustration, but welcome to the club. People are working hard every single day and getting laid off and fired.
And giving up things for everybody else for the betterment of the company and being told that, but it's okay if you're working at UPS.
Yes.
And everybody takes a pay cut.
Right.
And you have that experience.
Even though you've been on time on all your routes.
That's
even
right.
though your section is still profitable.
That's right.
And I think I don't think that that's fair to say. And I think that that point of view is slightly skewed. And he goes on to say...
It feels elitist to me.
It feels very elitist. And it feels like a real lack of empathy for the situation. Now, this person has said he, whatever bonus he did get, he was going to donate.
Right.
He doesn't say specifically where. And he says, my intention is to donate all of it. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But, you know, he goes on to say that the whole idea of the name shame, you know, Cuomo, the attorney in New York, talking about... giving out the names of the people who got bonuses, he said that, you know, that doesn't make sense because this person's supposed to know about due process. Well, the reality is it does make sense. It's public money. It's public disclosure of where that money is going. And this isn't a criminal proceeding yet. So I think it's really, I do question, I understand the frustration. I think we had a person who emailed and said, you know, my father, stepfather worked at AIG and he got fired before Christmas and no bonus. And and you know what? Everybody's somebody's father, or brother, or stepfather.
That's right.
Everybody.
That's right. The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We are Frangela filling in for Mama and the Mooks, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Unfreaking believable.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we're filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means me, Angela, the hot britches Shelton,
and her very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Callier.
That's right. It's 47 minutes past the hour.
And the number here is 1-800-STEPH-12.
And again, you can email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend in MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. You can also follow us on Twitter at Frangela1.
And please do. It's Wednesday, March 25th, and, you know, I was reading on the live blog, and people were talking about, you know, one of the things that the Obama administration or President Obama has talked about is, you know, trying to create new jobs, new job markets, and in particular in healthcare, in the, you know, getting all of the healthcare records put online or, you know, whatever, I'm saying that poorly, but tech jobs and the health information initiative.
You know, basically making it go electronic. The fact that when you go in and that person has to pull your record in quadruplet.
Right. So this, one of the live bloggers, Midwest Ruth, was saying, there better be a guarantee those jobs stay here in America.
Oh, she is so right.
Yeah.
She is so right.
You know, and I have to take a look at that.
Yeah,
proposal.
Let's talk to Deanne in Oakland. She wants to talk about health care, too. Deanne, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Actually, my name is Dina.
Oh, Dina, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. I was calling because I really disagree with the Republican talking points about big government.
Mm-hmm.
I think health care is such a huge piece of the pie, especially for small businesses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we could relieve them of this huge cost, that would be huge. It would be huge for them. It would be huge for the middle class.
Yes.
Because health care is one of, or basically medical costs is the main problem.
Yeah.
With all bankruptcies.
Yeah.
Because
that's the number one reason. And so if you resolve that problem, not only are you creating jobs, you're helping small businesses create more jobs, you're helping the people, and then a so needed necessity of health care.
Exactly.
I think it's fantastic, and I agree, and I totally disagree with the Republican that called earlier that said he really liked Obama, but then he totally trashed what he was saying. That just doesn't make sense.
Thank you, Dina.
It's not logical.
Thank you. Thank you, Dina.
You know what? We received a letter at our Facebook from Victoria, and she was talking about, you know, bankruptcy. She's a bankruptcy lawyer, and she was saying that that bank, she was saying a caller yesterday said that a bankruptcy is not available anymore. And she's like, and this is a common misconception and it makes people despair. She says, I want you to know that she's an attorney and she sees people every day who have been forced into bankruptcy because of layoffs, medical bills, mm-hmm. interest rates of 30%.
Like our earlier caller,
like
who banked more than doubled her interest rate
or more on credit cards. And she said, and God help them if they get caught up in payday loan scam,
which I need people to start talking about the usury laws in this country, the payday loan scam situation, and minimum wage.
Yes. And she said, and they're so relieved when they learn that they can file for bankruptcy. And she was saying bankruptcy filers often feel guilty or embarrassed, but filers today are in good company. They're business owners, architects, military service members, realtors,
retirees.
I'm not
sure that's gonna make you feel that much better,
but the thing is
but
that
also I want to correct that they actually, the person didn't say they couldn't get a bankruptcy, mm-hmm. but that it's much more difficult. They changed the bankruptcy laws.
Yes.
And I forget how long ago that was. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you know the exact date or remember when it happened, 1-800-STEPH-12, they did in fact change the bankruptcy laws to make it much more difficult for your average person to declare bankruptcy.
Right.
So that is true.
That is true. But she's just saying, you know, that the reality is that, you know, don't despair if you're really, really having, you know, major difficulties, and that, you know, that the shame that is a part of it, you know, you are in, I hate to say it like this, you know, good company, but not, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's your neighbor. It's everybody. It's that you don't have to be that ashamed. You don't have to let the shame follow you in that way.
Exactly. You know, I'm reading on Live Vogue, left center. We were talking about fees in the banking industry. And he wrote, I had something happen to me at the bank last year that surprised the heck out of me. I was charged a $10 fee for somebody's $10.50 check to him bouncing.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, how does that work? Because they also charge, you know, they charge the other person a fee, too. Is that not called double dipping?
That's double dipping, girl. That's double dipping.
We really need to look at what we allow the banking industry to do to regular people.
That's right. Let's talk to Gary in Minneapolis. Gary, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Well, yeah, under Bush and Cheney, even the dogs weren't safe. The whole federal government was out.
Mm-hmm.
But Obama, the best things he's doing is trying. I'd like to get rid of the insurance company because mm-hmm. with a pre-existing condition, it was hard to even get a decent job.
Yeah.
Yes. It's you shouldn't, you know.
Thank you, Gary.
Gary, it's the healthcare situation, and it is absolutely a huge part of people's budgets. It's absolutely crushing millions of people, and we do need to talk about that.
Yeah.
And I want to, you know, and I do believe, you know, in Media Matters, we were, you know, reading an article about, you know, memo to the media, where's W?
Yeah.
And people, you know, the media really taking a 24-hour AIG cycle
mm-hmm.
and not talking about the healthcare initiative and not talking about payday loans and not talking about minimum wage and really keeping our attention focused on that. And our attention needs to be here.
Yeah.
That, I'm not saying that, but we got a lot of attention space.
Yes. Well, you know what I wanted to say? I'm trying to find this article right now, but I believe that today the insurance company said that they might do a give on pre-existing conditions.
Oh, they might be willing to do
it.
They might be willing to actually insure people.
They might be willing to insure
some
of us.
Oh, that is so sweet.
If you have a precondition. Here it is, right here. Insurers at Ease stance on pre-existing conditions. The health insurance industry said Tuesday that it is willing to end the practice of charging higher premiums to sick people if Congress adopts a comprehensive plan that provided coverage to all Americans. So if we pay for it,
They'll do it.
if we pay for it.
You know what? It sounded so much better before you read it.
I know.
It really sounded a lot better.
The industry's flexible, quote-unquote, position on this issue came as a surprise to lawmakers.
They really think we're stupid. They really think we're stupid.
It could make it much easier to reach an agreement in Congress because it narrows the issues on which insurers are ready to fight the Democrats who control Congress and the White House. Now, this is the thing. It is not okay that insurers can beat the government.
Really?
It's when you think about that statement, is that Democrats in government, that the government would have to fight the insurance company. Shouldn't it be the other way around, Angela?
Well, we've talked about this in different ways. The concept that corporations have rights and we don't makes no sense to me. I just don't get it at all. Let's talk to Ted in Madison. He wanted to talk about, I think he's got to talk about the SEC.
Ted, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Yes, there was one or two things, depending on time allowance. As far as the SEC goes, I was listening to an interview in October of last year, and it was a person who had retired from the SEC, and he was making the statement at that time that the people who are working in the trenches and actually investigating these different banks and corporations, et cetera, that they had been reporting for the last 2 to 3 years to the SEC hierarchy that, you know what, the investments they're making are not appropriate. They don't have the financial backing for it. They do not have the assets to support what they are doing. And all they can do is report it. And, of course, at that time, the administration and the people who were sitting in charge of the SEC said, oh, well, you know, businesses know what they're doing. They're going to do fine.
It's the talent, Ted.
My whole point there is that, yes, the SEC is doing its job.
Okay.
The folks that are in there in the trenches are doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
But if nobody is sitting there and kicking the football up the line for enforcement, it ain't going to happen.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Thank you for calling, Ted. Yeah, you know what? That's the thing. You know, I hate to put it this way. We drones who work, you know, we can do our job all we want, you know. But until the people who are supposed to enforce take care of these issues, you know, you can go to your boss 1,001 times and be like, you know what? I think Annie over in accounting is taking money. But unless your boss goes and does something about it, there's nothing, you know, that's all you can do.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a government regulatory agency. Aren't there procedures? Like, when you file the report, do you just literally put it in a file cabinet? Or isn't it supposed to trigger a chain of events that are probably very clearly outlined in some three-ring binder somewhere?
Maybe you got to go
to Shirley and get the binder?
Yes.
And deal with Shirley's attitude that day?
Yes.
But come on, people.
Touche, Angela. Our number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We are Frangela, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we're filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Sexy Pants Gallier.
That's right. We just took her names and smushed them together so you only had to learn one. F-R-A-N-G-E-L-A.
That's right.
It is 6 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12 or 1-800-783-7412.
It is Wednesday, March 25th.
It sure is.
And you can always email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend in MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. You can also Twitter us at Frangela1.
That's right. We were talking, you may or may not be right, that President Obama gave a press conference last night.
Yes, he did.
And we've been talking about a lot of the issues and budget issues and AIG and also yesterday. Timothy Geithner and Federal Reserve Chair Bernanke had to face Congress.
And I mean,
the House Financial Services Committee. And it was harsh.
It was harsh. But Geithner had some things to say. Let's hear one of the things he had to talk about.
The companies insured by AIG in the United States alone employ one in three Americans. AIG directly guarantees over $30 billion of 401k and pension plan investments and is the leading provider of retirement services for teachers and education institutions.
One in three Americans.
A little more than a little terrifying.
That's extremely terrifying. But you know what actually got me is that the $30 billion in 401k plans, Madoff was dealing in numbers twice that. So actually, you know what? Actually, I just want to throw this out. He actually did almost as much damage. And stealing from people.
I know he's so happy about that AAG bonus thing, though. It took him off the front page.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you think about it, how much money he was dealing in and how much he stole from people and how much that wealth that knocked out in this country. That was massive. Let's talk to Frank in Detroit. Frank, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
This is your apocalypto, Frank. I'm going to take off my feathered headdress and come down off the temple for a moment.
Thank you. I'm going to tell you, Frank, we were laughing all day about that.
Well, you know, all cute metaphors aside, you know, when they talk about companies like AIG or Chase or whatever that are too big to fail, what is missing from this discussion and all this distraction about bonuses is break them up.
Thank you.
Break them up. So bring them back up on the temple floor and let's break them up.
You're right, Frank.
If one in three people depend on AIG, right, that means they've gotten too big to fail, and that means you can sell them off to healthier companies, and you can have maybe 10, 15 smaller companies that'll be more efficient, that won't be as corrupt, and then you can watch those people that, you know, work that derivative market that have driven us into the ditch.
That's right.
And, you know, one other point before I go, single-payer health right now. That's what these healthcare companies are frightened of.
Yep.
And I think if we all must insist upon it, I don't care if it's communism. I don't care how much it costs. You can call it Ray. I don't care anymore. You know, because I'm not going to be driven into starvation to keep some non-living entity, a corporation, alive.
Thank you for putting it in those terms, Frank. I think we get really caught up in the terminology, and the word socialist has been being wielded as some sort of weapon. And rather than asking ourselves, what do we want, actually? Do I want the words?
Yeah.
Or do I want this situation addressed? It's amazing to note, you know, when we talk about AIG being too big to fail, that so much of this country is tied into the financial services sector.
Yeah.
That when you think about that, that actually covers insurance, real estate, financial instruments of any kind, from brokers to lawyers to loan collectors to loan consolidators to secretaries at big investment firms to chauffeurs and private limousines. Like,
there's
so much of our industry is tied into this huge profit-making entity. And in fact, in 2002 and 2003, financial firms took more than 40% of the profits that accrued to U.S. corporations.
40%.
40% of the profits that accrued to, hear that again, in 2002 and 2003, financial firms took more than 40% of the profits that accrued to U.S. corporations. Mm-hmm. And that's according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis.
Right. Let's talk to Tim in Long Beach. Tim, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi, ladies. I wanted to make a comment about the medical field.
Okay.
Yes.
I work in the medical field, and what I've noticed the most expense, it goes to the drug companies who make the drugs, and it goes to the companies that make, like, laboratory instruments and the reagents for that. And I'm sure that most of the hospitals and small medical facilities are passing that cost on to the consumer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, you know what? We keep being told that the reason why, you know, AIDS medication is so expensive is because of R&D. That's why the cost has to be passed.
The research and development to create the medication.
To create the medication, and that has to be passed on to the consumer when it only costs them X amount of dollars to actually make the pill.
Exactly. That's what I've heard, too, yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, it's, you know, and the people who actually aren't getting, you know, we had a hospital close here, you know, in Los Angeles recently, and it serviced a large community. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But the reality is that nurses aren't necessarily getting paid more.
No.
And we're not encouraged, you know, that the fields where people need caregivers, you know, are not being taken care of. It's this, the way that we treat senior citizens in this country is absolutely abysmal.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Oh, let's talk to Vince in Chicago. Vince, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hey, I think government wastes a lot of money, and I don't think that giving them more money is the answer. I don't think that they're doing a good job as it is with the money they have.
I hear what you're saying, Vince.
I hear what you're saying. You know what? Did you listen to President Obama's speech last night?
His speech or press conference?
The press conference. Yeah.
Yeah, the press. I caught snippets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just a few snippets. I mean, I didn't really watch all of it. No.
Yeah, but
I did catch the healthcare, and I just think that, you know, I don't trust the government getting into the healthcare business. They waste too much money. It's too dangerous. I mean,
would you rather deal with the healthcare company now, Vance? Come on. Oh, come on. Seriously?
But you know what I think? What I hear in Vince's comment is that there's been this real move I think this concept of big government, this concept that government is bad, what we want is less government. I think that we really do have to take back the concept, and I think we did, as many of our callers have pointed out in the last election. We took back that we hire these people to work for us. The government isn't bad objectively.
No.
You know, that there's a reason why we have a government. There's because you know why? We wouldn't have roads.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't have a police department. You wouldn't have, the government is supposed to be there to keep this country together and to move it forward.
Right. We want more effective government.
Exactly.
We want government that works.
I hear what Vince is saying. A lot of people, like, why should I trust these people when I have to read over and over again? But the way that we show our trust is through our voting. And we really do not vote enough.
Right.
The percentage of people who actually vote in this country is really abysmal. And that is something we do have to be involved. And we do have to, you know, read the papers or figure out and get together and talk and really take an active role.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that, Angela. Let's talk to Leslie in Albuquerque. Leslie, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Thank you, ladies. I wanted to say that I think that you are just fantastic. I enjoy you so much.
Thank you, Leslie.
And also about that clip that you played the other day, that talk show host.
Oh, yes, Tammy and Bruce.
I have good news and I have bad news.
Okay.
The bad news is that the base of that comment is racist. The good news is that Obama was elected, which proves that it isn't as bad as it was years ago in this country, because that's a possibility that was never a possibility before.
Right.
You know. So that's the good news. She has become a smaller minority, but that's the basis of that whole thing, and it is appalling.
Yes.
The other thing that I wanted to say was that somebody came to me one day with a theory that he got from somebody else about fixing the economy, and his theory was, if you give all the tax, not maybe all the children, but all the adults in the country, $1 million apiece, we would have no toxic assets, because we don't have, the average American doesn't have more than $1 million of debt.
$1 million
would pay all our bills.
Yeah.
We own our homes. With the mortgages would be paid. Mm-hmm. The toxic assets would be gone. So I really have not got a handle on where all these billions need to go. The other thing is that nobody has mentioned recently. I remember when Bush was still president at the end, and Paulson was in charge, and they were doing this bailout, and the government wanted to put in, Congress wanted to put in stipulations and things on limits on bonuses and stuff like that. Somebody had intercepted some kind of a call or a message or
an email.
From Paulson to the CEO saying, don't worry about your bonuses because it won't be retroactive. And nobody's mentioned this.
Right. Yeah, in fact,
this was built in from the beginning.
Yes.
Thank you, Leslie.
Yeah, she's absolutely right. In fact, in a report on Fox's business finding, Fox News host John Scott and correspondent Brian Wilson did not at any point explain that their colleagues, it was a Fox person, discovery of the emails. And these emails were significant because they show that the Bush Treasury Department considered and rejected requiring AIG to nullify its bonus contracts on condition of receiving the $40 billion in bailout money. And yes, you're not hearing about that
Hey, let's talk to Courtney in San Jose. Courtney, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi, ladies.
Hi.
I'd like to offer up a little different perspective on President Obama's budget proposal.
Okay.
If I might. The first thing I'd like to say is that we are in a ditch, a really deep ditch.
I mean, I've been saying.
The side of the highway.
Courtney, I've been saying we're going to have to pour money in that ditch so we can walk across it.
That's where I'm going with this. You cannot propose a solution to a really big problem by going small. You have to go big. Mm-hmm. That's the first part. The second part, we need to look at his budget as investment and not spending. George Bush spent on war and killing and fear.
Yep.
And roads to nowhere. President Obama's talking about investing in education, infrastructure.
That's right, green jobs.
All these things that will build Like, if I spend $50,000, I'm in graduate school, and I'm taking out student loans.
Mm-hmm.
If I spend $50,000 on my grad program, that is an investment.
That's right.
It mm-hmm. will pay dividends down the road.
Right.
Just like President Obama's budget, it's spending $3-something trillion, but it is an investment, and it will pay dividends down the road. And if we are not big enough as a country to understand that what we were doing ain't working and ain't gonna continue to not, it's gonna continue to not work.
Right.
So we
exactly.
have to do something different. And all these people who call in and talking about, well, we need to work on the deficit. You can't stop the bleeding and plan
yeah.
for the future at the same time.
Yeah. I absolutely agree.
Thank you, Courtney.
I absolutely agree. I think that, you know, the deficit, the word deficit, obviously, you know, it's disquieting to people.
Yeah.
But the reality is that there's such a thing as carrying a deficit and that being useful.
Mm-hmm.
And I would much rather be spending billions of dollars on education,
yeah.
on health care, than
absolutely.
I am on a war.
Absolutely.
That's just hurting people, and then not giving those veterans anything when they come back.
Absolutely. Well, and Obama talked about that last night. He talked about procurement. He talked about, which everybody's saying that's going to be the big fight. He talked about, you know, when our veterans come home, they deserve to have great medical care and, you know, all kinds of things that help them readjust after their service for us, because they have done the ultimate sacrifice.
The front page of many papers today is the suicide rate among veterans and among people who are currently in the armed forces
is
it doubled last month, and it's just at an alarming rate.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you know, I agree with him. With Courtney just now, I say, you know, the reality is that we're going to have to rethink how we see even money, billions versus trillions in this country. And you know what? And I don't want to be owned by other countries. I really don't. I really don't, Angela. But the reality is
maybe we'll get three hots and a cot. I'm just saying.
But the reality is that this we've got to do something different, and I agree with Courtney in that way, you know. And
we're going to have to spend money.
We're going to have to spend some money. The number
the
here
question
is
where.
Hold on the line. We're
going to
get to your
calls. Please hold. The call boards are full. Thank you.
Yes, we're going to get to your calls. The number here is 1-800-STEP-12. We are Frangela, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, that is hilarious.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
And welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks, Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward, are on a much-deserved vacation, so we're filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means me, Angela V. Shelton.
And our very best friend, Frances Callier.
That's right. It's 25 minutes past the hour.
The number is here is 1-800-STEPH-12.
That is right, 1-800-STEPH-12. It is Wednesday, March 25th. And I wanted to read something from the live blog. Thank you, live bloggers, from Peter W., the Robo Bagpiper, I think is how it goes. He wrote, the right likes to pretend that poor people aren't paying FICA and sales tax or property taxes through their landlord.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think it's important to bring that up, that we all pay taxes.
Yes.
And there's a variety of ways that we get hit, especially working people, especially the lower, you know, economic sectors of our country.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, let's talk to Jonathan in New York. Jonathan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hey, what's up, ladies? How
hey,
are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Good to hear you on the radio. You guys crack me up.
Oh, thank you. Right, thank you for holding.
Yeah, I'll make it quick because I know you got to back up. So when you were talking about the guy who made the comment to Obama during the press conference and he said, I've only had 2 days, I reacted just like y'all. It was like I was at a Knicks game. I wanted to jump up and scream at the TV. First time I'd ever seen that. Yeah, I couldn't be in the press corps either.
No, we couldn't.
We would be kicked out every day,
Frangela and Jonathan. They'd be like, we have told you three. Repeatedly.
That's what I'm saying. I'm from Detroit originally, so you know me.
Oh, I know. I do.
Anyway,
I'm from Detroit, too.
So it's like this. You know, there's been a battle this mm-hmm. battle has been raging for a long time between the money men, the middle class, and the poor. Keeping yep. that, you never, Obama ran on that platform, mm-hmm. middle class. You never hear about the low. You always hear about the trickle down or never from the bottom up.
No.
You know, the system is completely broken. We have a history in this country with the robber barons all the way back to
yes.
that, busting unions. They used to go out in the street and just beat you to death.
Yeah, busting unions meant busting. Yeah.
But you know what, Jonathan, right now we're busting workers, and I'm really...
And unions.
I'm angry about it. I am frangry about it.
My grandfather drove trucks all his life. He was a teacher. He was a member of the...
Teamsters?
Oh, my God. Help me.
FLCIO or Teamsters?
Yeah, the union. Yeah, the Teamsters.
Right.
And he put, you know, a lot of kids through college. It was
yes.
always a new car in the driveway. You know, granted, technology is changing, so there aren't going to be those kind of jobs where you're working in factories anymore. People have to upgrade their education
yes.
in terms
mm-hmm.
of technology to move forward with that. That'll help the lower class. But the lower class is being left out of this, and the middle class is being used as it has been for 200 years as a buffer.
Yes.
Between the upper class and the lower class.
And you know what? Thank you.
Thank you,
Jonathan.
Absolutely.
And the middle class is actually being pushed down into the lower class.
I'm telling you.
And this is the thing. People are waking up and realizing it because what they have, everybody's waking up and going, wait a minute. Why am I working part-time at 39 hours an hour? Hours a week, and actually I'm working 70 hours, and I'm working for half the money I used to make.
We've been talking about the hidden poverty in this country, and the reality of so many people who have graduate degrees and who had high-paying jobs or jobs that they were really able to support themselves on now. They're out here working for $15 an hour and less.
That's right. We are Frangela, and this is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The nicest, sweetest, coolest girl at the pageant, and this year's Miss Congeniality.
Good morning and welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are on a much-deserved vacation this week, so we are honored to be filling in for them. We are Frangela, that means me, Angela V. Shelton,
and her BFF, Frances Callier.
That's right. We like to think of ourselves as your BFFs.
Yes, you're...
America's BFFs.
Yes. Yes.
Your
yes.
backup and your backup
hey,
when necessary.
We are.
It's 33 minutes past the hour.
The number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-783-7412.
We'll remind you, you can email us at frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. You can also follow us on Twitter at Frangela1.
That's right. It's Wednesday, March 25th, and we've been talking about, President Obama gave an exciting, thrilling press conference yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking earlier, right before the break, with, was it Courtney?
Yes. So was Courtney.
Or was it Jonathan? No, it was Jonathan.
Oh, it was Jonathan.
Jonathan,
right.
About, you know, the president, you know, I'm going to say getting a little, in like what I like to call my pre-boarding attitude.
Yes.
At the airport.
Yeah.
And I think rightfully so, perhaps.
Rightfully so.
With a reporter. And then also yesterday, we had the Federal Reserve Chair Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Geithner in front of the House Financial Services Committee.
Yes. And Geithner was getting his rump tapped. It's the nicest way I can put it, okay? I'm sorry, Tony, but that's the nicest way I can put it. He was getting
spoken to in an official manner.
He was getting spanked. And let's hear number 25 about what was going on.
Are you going to give us the chart, or are you going to hide the ball?
I'm not going to hide the ball.
Are you going to give us the chart?
I will reflect on the suggestion you made and see if that is a reason.
In other words, you won't commit to telling the American people how many folks at Goldman Sachs or AIG are going to make $1 million this year.
Congressman, I will think carefully about your proposal.
Thank you for thinking. Let me move on. I'll move on to the next question.
Thank you for thinking.
Oh,
another reason why we weren't allowed in that room.
That's really.
Or Jonathan. We would have been like, oh dang. No, he didn't say thank you for thinking. Yeah.
You need a cushion for your behind after that.
Yeah. That's one of those spankies where you don't get to walk right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
way. Thanks for thinking. Thank we appreciate you showing up.
Oh, man. I mean, they are out for blood.
Well, you know, there's some elections happening right now. And like we were talking about yesterday, we touched briefly on the need for campaign finance reform and the fact that people in Congress, you know, they're running for office the second they get in there.
Yep.
Especially because they have such short terms. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that, you know, I think my quote is actually years wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the last time I remember looking this up, it literally, if you were a senator, you had to raise something like $10,000 a month from the moment you got into office.
Right.
But I think that that's probably actually very low, especially considering the amount of spending that went on in this last year's presidential
election. Exactly. It kicked everything up a notch. Let's talk to Kevin in Michigan. Kevin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I love y'all show, and I really love y'all.
Thank you, Kevin.
The reason for my call is I think some previous callers almost have amnesia. Now, I heard what the president said when he first came into power. He said that, now you all got to remember, we wasted $10 billion a month in Iraq, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Once that money is brought to America, like he said, the money that we wasted could have fixed all the bridges, all the roads, paid all our teachers. So
yeah.
What I want people to do is stop getting stuck on stupid. And this goes out to Mr. Jindal down in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
While he's down there raising money for his campaign, there's still people from Katrina that's trying to make me go, y'all can raise money for this Nimrod, but you can't help the people. This is just ridiculous, in my opinion.
I think you're absolutely right.
Thank you, Kevin.
For putting it that way. Because the people in his state are still suffering. And in many other states from those hurricanes,
things still
aren't right.
That's right. There are people being, you know, but you can go into a room and raise money for the Republican Party to rerun elections. You know, it kills me, Angela. It kills me that nobody cares. I that's what I think.
Well, we care.
We care.
But I know what you're saying. That's not what we're hearing about in the media. Instead, literally, there are like 10 articles on this teleprompter thing.
Yes.
On the fact that Obama had a teleprompter. And one of the articles was like, what kind of a president uses a teleprompter? I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's severe amnesia, because we have a president for the last 8 years who really, with a teleprompter, couldn't get out a coherent sentence.
No, he could not.
So I really, seriously, if we're going to play that game, you don't want to play that game.
Yeah.
Who speaks better? let's not.
Let's speak to Ava in Haslett, Michigan. Ava, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
I'm so glad to talk to you today. I have to say that I heard you for the first time yesterday on Stephanie Miller. I always listen to her back from one of my three jobs. But,
wow.
I live in Michigan, and I have to have three jobs to make one kind of salary.
Oh,
and I think you guys rock. I can't believe how on target you guys are. But I wanted to talk about Obama's technology spin. I'm a national director for a National Transcription Association called Association for Healthcare Documentation and Integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are medical transcriptionists. We're those people you don't see who actually write everything that goes into the medical record and make sure that it's 100% accurate, because, you know, doctors make mistakes. We're the ones at the front end of risk management. We fix those mistakes.
Wow.
The thing that scares me about what Obama says, and not that I'm terrified because he's going to do the wrong thing, because that is totally not true. I'm so proud of our president, is that he doesn't understand that just because you have technology doesn't mean the things that you put in the technology are going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
medical transcriptionists make sure that the medical documentation is correct.
You're still fighting human error.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people talk about technology, like when they use voice recognition for doctors. When doctors dictate, it goes to voice recognition and then gets put into the electronic patient record.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen any documentation from that?
Never.
Out of that? Oh, my God. They make so many mistakes. We have probably, in my area, in Sparrow Hospital, 90% foreign dictators. And those things can't translate
what they're
saying.
Yes.
So it can put anything in there. It can talk about a truck going down the road, and what he was talking about was a trocar being inserted into the abdomen.
Wow.
And that would be a big difference. Yeah.
Right. And if nobody's looking at it, if nobody's looking at that technology, making sure, no medical transcriptionist who is certified, looking at that to make sure that it is a perfect document going in, then we're going to have people all around the country
with trucks going through their roads.
Right.
Yes.
Some patient gets injured in Texas, and they use that medical record from Michigan because we're going into Rios and sharing our information and making sure that our patient records could be viewed anywhere, and perhaps anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're going to have misinformation in that record, and that patient will be directly impacted 1,000% on what
yes.
is said in it.
I wow. think, you know what, I think...
Thank you, Ava.
Ava, you bring up a very important point, that sometimes, and I think one of our very earlier callers talked about technology getting rid of jobs,
mm-hmm.
Getting rid of the human part of jobs, and this is the thing, this technology still needs to be over, there still needs to be human people in it.
Yes.
Because you're absolutely, I know this, because just even if you, I've messed up and called, you know, Francis's home number,
mm-hmm.
Texted it, rather.
Yes.
Not realizing, you know, by mistake rather than her cell phone. And so, you know, there's a service now where they have a voice
yes.
that interprets the text.
Right.
And it's just, it's hysterical if you've done it. Because
yeah.
my text is like, girl, what you doing? And it's like this computer voice being like, girl, what you doing? You know? But it messes things up, too.
Yes.
And when you think about how many times you do voice recognition, even in your own day-to-day business.
Yes.
Like, you call a company and it says, what are you looking for? I'm looking for my balance. You're looking for a bargain. You
yes.
know, or whatever.
Yes.
You're looking for the... You know, and she's absolutely that we do still need to have people overseeing these things.
Absolutely. Really quickly, let's talk to Morris in Memphis. Morris, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Frangela.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was going to really address how the Republican Party is an opposition party now, but I want to address this question that this lady stood up and talked about. How is Obama doing with the race issue in the White House?
Absolutely. You know what? I thought that made me kind of, you know, pick my head to the side, too.
Yeah, you know, well, I'm a captain in an airline.
Mm-hmm.
So, and here's the thing. Obama said, oh, I'm not worrying about that stuff. I'm just hoping the people will judge me on what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to read between the lines. Being a captain for an airline for 13 years, here's what's going on. When he says that, what he's really saying is, yeah, I know. You can get a passenger comes on board that flies a little private plane, thinks he can fly better than me when he sees that I'm black. You know, I mm-hmm. see this all the time. Even though you're black, people are still going to question your decision. So how is that affecting the country? Well, you have to deal with that. You have to climb over those hurdles before
yeah, mm-hmm.
you can actually get something done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I read between the lines, man.
Yeah.
My butt cheeks, like,
still a lot of booty talk.
Today. Yeah, yeah, we have. Thank you so much, Morris.
What was the call you were talking about that made you kind of click your head to the side?
That was during the press conference yesterday, and there was one of the journalists stood up and asked, you know, wanted to ask about race and President Obama felt. It was affecting him being president. People were judging him because of his race, and he had gotten over that hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically was saying, you know, I think that people are judging me on how they should, which is how well of a job that I'm doing, you know, if I'm attacking this economy, if I'm getting these jobs done.
Interesting.
Yes, the number here is 1-800-STEPH-12. We're coming back with Idiot of the Week.
Thank you, everyone, for holding on the line.
Yes, we're going to try to get to one or two calls. You are listening to Frangela right here on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
And welcome back to the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama and the Mooks are on vacation this week, so we are very honored to be filling in for them. We are Frangela. That means me, Angela B. Shelton.
And her very BFF, Frances Sexy Pants Callia.
That's right. And that's Frangela, just her name smushed together.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us at Frangela.com.
You can become our friend at MySpace at The Real Frangela and at Facebook at Frangela Duo. You can also follow us on Twitter at Frangela1.
That's right. It's 48 minutes past the hour on this Wednesday, March 25th.
Yes.
And this is a segment, we didn't get to it yesterday.
No, we didn't.
But on our regular show on KTLK, we always do a little thing that we call Idiot of the Week. That's where we give the stupid their time in the sun.
That's right.
Because too often awards and recognition are only given to intelligent people who make significant contributions. These people deserve our time also.
That's right. You know, we have to definitely give them a little bit of awareness.
And we do Idiot of the Week, and at the end we crown the absolute idiot of this week.
That's right.
And I also want to let people know that you will not hear people like Bill O'Reilly in this category. They go in a category called professional idiots.
Yes.
Because we found it wasn't fair to compare them to amateur idiots because they always won.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get started, shall we?
Yes.
These stories either make you feel a little down or make you realize, you know what? I'm not doing so
bad. Exactly. So hopefully we can make you laugh a little bit as we go away today.
Number one.
Yes. BC crook needs lessons in subterfuge and footwear.
Most criminals, they try to keep their crimes under wraps.
Yes.
And apparently this suspect in British Columbia is finding out why that is.
Yeah, this 27-year-old is accused of breaking into a home
in Okanagan.
Thank you for saying it. And stealing electronics, a pair of shoes, and a van.
It's an interesting combination.
Yeah.
You might say to yourself. He then takes this van that he's stolen.
Yes.
Parks it outside a known drug house and sets it on fire.
It didn't take long for the police to show up and search the home. And find him hiding in the basement.
Now, I'm going to read between the lines of this, Francis, and go, smells like meth.
Yes. Normal people don't make these kind of choices. Not even normal thieves.
Like, okay, because let me pause. You needed some shoes.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have any shoes. The situation got that bad.
Yeah.
Then you needed a ride to the drug house.
Right.
But then you didn't have any cash. You needed something to trade for drugs,
right,
which would be the electronics.
Or you needed something to hit your Steely Dan on.
Exactly. But then when you got to the house, you realized, I don't get caught with a stolen car.
Right.
So you set it on fire.
You fool.
Because that won't attract attention.
Yes. Because you know why? You know why he did it?
He's an idiot. And a little methy, I think.
Okay.
Next idiot nominee for today,
yes.
Wednesday, March 25th.
Oh, God.
This is so not right.
Okay. This is in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania. A Western Pennsylvania county prison guard.
I can't deal with
this. This is very important. He has been fired, y'all.
Let me start there.
He has been fired over what he calls a prank.
A quote-unquote prank. You tell Frangela if you think this is a prank.
In which a new guard was locked in a cell with an inmate involved in a police shootout.
Follow us.
Okay.
The new guard comes in to work on his first day.
Y'all happy?
And the older guard is like, well, I want to see what you're made of. I got to go. Let's play a prank. Let's put him in a cell with somebody who's already fired on police.
Right. And let's just see what happens. I forgot my lunch today. I got nothing to do at lunchtime.
He was in there with that inmate for 20 minutes.
Girl, I would tell you, if it had been me, I would have been running. I just would have been running,
trying to do that Matrix run up the wall stuff. What kills me is, and literally this guard's excuse was he wanted to see what the new guard was made of. I think that they tried to cover that in the hiring process.
Yes, they did.
But okay. So, in fact, the inmate has filed a complaint with the NAACP.
Oh, no.
And the guard was surprised because he's like, it wasn't meant to be mean to the inmate. It was meant to be mean to the guard. Like, you guys are misunderstanding my prank.
Totally.
My pranky prank. That is so not cool. I would have beat the heck out of him when I got out of there. But like, what is wrong with you? This person's in jail already for shooting at police.
I am the enemy. I'm in uniform.
Oh,
and you know when I starched my pants this morning? I shined
my
lunch.
Shoes. Like, kiss my kids. They were all happy. Daddy got a job.
Not anymore.
That's not right.
Okay.
Next up.
This is from Scott.
Scott, I want to tell you that Scott H. has just received a promotion in the Frangela Army of the Anti-Dumb, the Anti-Idiot Army.
Yes.
He has now been made a Brigadier General.
That's right. And if you want to join Scott in our Anti-Idiot Army, you can always email us at frangela.com anytime you come across an idiot that you need us to read about.
We have to thank Major Jared and Major Chris and Lieutenant Colonel Alfonso and Colonel Robert and, of course, General Michael H.
That's right.
So let's get going.
Okay. This comes from the International File in Brazil. Carlos Gomez, who was arrested for trying to steal a bank safe, he decided that the best way to open that safe would be to blow it up, Angela.
Yeah, he thought, I'll blow it open.
Yeah.
I'll blow the door off. I don't know the code. I'm clearly not a safe cracker, which probably would mean I shouldn't steal safes. But we're going to move past that.
Right.
And say, you know what? I don't have any dynamite.
Right.
I know. I'll pour gasoline over it.
Yeah.
And set it on fire.
Yeah. So he did that, and some of the gasoline seeped inside the safe.
Being a liquid.
Yes.
And they can do that. Then this idiot strikes a match, puts it on the safe, and I guess you could probably guess that you're not stupid what happened.
The safe exploded.
Blowing Bozo across the room.
Yes.
The police, drawn by the incredible explosion, found this idiot running down the street.
Yeah.
And when they caught him, he tried to deny that it was him trying to blow open the safe. Instead, it just happened to happen while he was in the bank's kitchen frying up a steak. You know what? I gotta give it to him for trying some kind of excuse.
I don't know.
Banks had a kitchen for frying up steaks.
So I'm like, oh, these third degree burn marks on me? That was a steak incident.
My lunch.
Yeah.
That was a lunch malfunction.
Next
up,
This
is really messed up too. Okay. Police chiefs in China.
Yes.
I can't even. They're in trouble because you know what they decided to do for a training exercise?
What?
They hired actors to rob a bank. Without telling anyone.
Yeah. Only the chief of police of the department knew it was a drill. Everyone else, including the bank, thought it was a real raid.
And the guards who were armed.
Yeah.
Right? So four, quote-unquote, robbers rushed into the post office bank, disarmed security, and demanded all the people inside drop to the floor. They even snatched a customer's bag that had $20,000 in it.
Yeah.
The police, critics said the police officers, unaware that it was a training drill, could easily have used their guns on the fleeing robbers. And a police spokesman said later that police didn't have a preset plan for a drill, and all timing, location, and method of robbery were decided on the spot.
That sounds like a hold-up, Angela. That then people realized, oh, no, somebody know what I look like.
Somebody
you know what, this is a drill.
Me.
This is a drill now.
You can't. Do that.
Oh, my goodness.
And finally for today, authorities in Virginia say a convicted felon pleaded guilty to possessing a firearm after he posted himself holding said firearm.
On YouTube. Benny Hernstein.
Benny.
Could face up to 10 years in prison after he pleaded guilty to the charge. Police said the video, which depicted Benny holding the gun while wearing a hood and standing next to a life-size picture of a woman.
It came to their attention after residents, i.e. Benny's scared neighbors, saw the video and reported it.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
People.
We
got to hurry here.
I'm going to go for the guard who locked up the new hire with the inmate. You're
stupid. You know what? I'm going to join you there because that is not a prank.
No.
People, there was a time in this country.
Girl, there was a time in this country.
There was a time in this country when a prank was like putting somebody's brassiere in the freezer.
Yes.
Or putting their hand in some water while they're sleeping.
Yeah, exactly.
Not locking them in a jail cell with an inmate.
Girl, okay.
That's called killing them.
Girl, there was a time in this country when, you wanted to buy something, you would use credit cards. And credit cards did not equal extortion, okay?
Oh, thank you.
I didn't have to give up my firstborn to get a couch.
That's what I'm screaming. There was a time in this country, Francis. There was a time when Tracy, our friendly cab driver from Los Angeles, could be excited about packing for her trip to London, not worried about her bank packing hidden fees on it.
Oh, I'm Francis Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back here tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. Have a great day.